Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. And today we're going to start a series, I don't know if it's going to be two episodes or three, called Bless and Do Not Curse. I started studying this subject when the Holy Spirit began to convict me. So I have been repenting for weeks now over things that He has shown me, and this caused me to go into the Word and start studying. Obviously I can correct my behavior, and I wanted to share with y'all what I've been studying. Let me tell you, first of all, Satan does not want you to have this information. He has been fighting me tooth and nail, which he's been doing a lot here lately, but there are certain messages that I put out that he fights a lot harder on, and he has fought this one real hard. The podcast that you were supposed to hear today was going to be Nicole and I discussing this on the show, and she's got some tremendous things to share with you. And then she had one of her children came down sick that she had to take to the doctor, and so she had to cancel at the last minute. And we know it's the work of Satan. Obviously, we know it's him fighting this because he don't want you to know this. He don't want you to know this. He wants you to think you're doing everything right and to miss it in some big area like this. Okay? All right. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. The Bible tells us again and again to bless and not curse those who hate us, who persecute us, who use us. It tells us to do good unto them instead of slapping the living daylights out of them, which is honestly what my flesh wants to do most of the time. Just keeping it real here, y'all. I'm a Texan. Y'all know that. But I know a lot of you can relate. Okay, so let's look at what it actually means to bless and not curse. And I want to tell y'all some stories. Webster's Dictionary defines the word bless as to make holy. That would be like saying a blessing over a vial of oil. To ask divine favor for, that would be like interceding for someone and asking the Lord to bless them. To endow with, like you bless somebody with a new car, means you gave them that, bless them with it. To make happy, sort of like being a blessing to someone and bringing them, you know, happiness. Or to praise. Bless, B-L-E-S-S, is mentioned 126 times in the King James Version of the Bible. 116 times it is translated from the Hebrew 1288, the Hebrew word barak, a root word meaning to bless, congratulate, praise, salute, or thank. The other 10 times the word is translated bless is the Greek 21:27, that would be in the New Testament, is the Greek word eulogio, which is where we get our word eulogy, which means to speak highly of someone who just passed away. Eulogio is a compound of the Greek 2095 EU, which means good or well done, and the Greek 3056 logos, which means something that is said. And it means to speak well of, to bless, to prosper, to praise. Okay? Let's define curse. Webster's Dictionary defines curse as calling on God or the gods, depending on how you believe, to bring evil upon a person or thing. A profane or obscene oath, or evil coming as if in answer to a curse. So it basically means to call evil down on something or someone, to swear at or afflict or to suffer from something. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke 6:28. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Romans 12:14. The Lord said, that is a word for somebody. There's a group of women talking nasty bad about you at your workplace. This for a woman, because a very fine man took notice of you briefly and they saw it. You know it's out of jealousy, but he is in management and they are trying to say you're cultivating favors from him with your looks. You know you are innocent. Live every minute of your life above reproach, woman of God. Make sure everything about how you dress, how you walk, and how you conduct all your affairs, how you talk, everything, and business is above reproach. And the Lord says to you, like, if you'll do that, watch what I will do to them. I will put them in their place. I will show them beyond any doubt they are wrong, and I will make them feel remorse. One of the ways that we curse instead of blessing is by talking bad about somebody, isn't it? Isn't that one of the ways we do it? Just whispers, being a busybody, that sort of thing. Speaking our opinions, which usually have zero substance to them, and we're usually wrong in all our judgments anyway. When we do that, we do the work of the accuser of the brethren, Satan. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about busybodies, going from house to house, carrying tales. And you know, the Lord never said it's okay to be a busybody if what you say is true. He said, don't do it, didn't he? Somebody needed to hear that, the Lord said. What does the Bible tell us to do if we have aught against somebody? If that means if we have something against them, if we are talking bad about them, obviously we have something against them, right? What does the Bible say to do? Says to go to your brother alone and discuss it with them, right? So you just like go to that person's house or whatever and talk to them in private. And I heard a sermon by Perry Stone where he said the reason that that the Lord says to do it that way is because it keeps that matter private. Number one, you may be completely wrong about what you think, but even if you're right, what would we want if we did something wrong? What do we want? We'd want somebody to show us mercy, wouldn't we? We would want them to come to us alone, not spread it all over half the countryside before, you know, something else. So, think about this. What if Satan was able to expose every fault you have and every fault I have by getting everybody to disobey the word of God? Can you imagine the mess that would make? Can you imagine the strife that would come out of that? God prefers mercy. That's why he sent Jesus to us, because he had mercy on us. And that's why he so carefully gave us all these commands and instructions in his word. And we want mercy for our faults. We just don't really want to show mercy to other people, right? Satan gets people to betray us, to talk bad about us, to wound us, because he knows that will stir up our emotions. And that will make us strike out at them because we will be in so much pain we can hardly think. Has that ever happened to you? You found out somebody talked bad about you. You thought they were your friend. You know, they did something bad to you. When it's someone you consider a friend who betrays you, and y'all know because you've heard me talk about the stuff that's happened to me before, especially since I've come here to Arkansas. When a friend betrays you, the wound is so much deeper and the pain is so much greater that you're just doubled over in pain, and it breaks your heart because you just can't believe that somebody you care that much about would do something so vile. But they do. A lot of times people are good actors and they pretend to be friends and they're really not your friend. They're just out to get something or, you know, whatever. They don't really care about you, but they know how to act like they care. Family members can do the same thing. I know a lot of you have had family members or have family members still that act like they care, they love you and all that, but their actions then will turn around and their words will turn around and show you something completely different than the love that they claim they feel, won't it? So if Satan can get our emotions all stirred up, you're upset, you're wounded, then the first thing you want to do is you want to strike back because you want to stop them from doing anything else to you, right? Hey, y'all know I'm right there. You know I am right there with that. That's an automatic, natural reaction out of our human nature. We don't want to act out of our human nature, but it does happen. But that's how strife enters in. Oh, how the devil loves strife, because strife opens the door to every evil work. James 3:16. You do not want every evil work coming into your house. Can I just say that? Anytime our emotions start running high, we should see a big red danger sign flashing over our head, because that is when it is the very easiest for Satan to just reach through you and do evil to other people and cause destruction through you. A biblical writer said, "The tongue can no man tame." A Greek philosopher asked his servant to provide the best dish possible. The servant prepared a dish of tongue, saying, "It is the best of all dishes, because with it we may bless and communicate happiness, dispel sorrow, remove despair, cheer the faint-hearted, inspire the discouraged, and say 100 other things to uplift mankind." Later, the philosopher asked his servant to provide the worst dish of which he could think. A dish of tongue again appeared on the table. The servant said, "It is the worst, because with it we may curse and break another's heart, destroy reputations, promote discord and strife, set families, communities, and nations at war with each other." Solomon said, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Did I ever tell y'all that it was literally words that killed my younger brother? True story, May 1987 in Texas. My younger brother was 21 years old. No, 21. And he was in some trouble. He had gone and done some stuff with some friends he shouldn't have done. I don't know the whole story because he never told me what happened. But he had gotten into some trouble. And at one point he left and went and stayed with our sister in Texas, who's since gone to be with the Lord. And the district attorney's office found out that he had left the county. And I guess he was supposed to stay in the county. And so the person who was in charge of it then at that time spoke to him on the phone and said, "I'm going to put you in prison." Just real mean. "I'm going to put you in prison." And literally scared him to death. He left there. He went over to our niece's house. She was sunbathing. And he said, "Hey, can I borrow your bathroom?" And she said, "Sure." And he went in the house, and he knew where she and her husband kept their 357. And he got it, and he left. She never knew he took it until much later. And he basically went to Texas, came down to Texas to say goodbye to all of us, although we didn't know at the time that's what he was doing. And then he went back to Oklahoma, and he put that gun to his head, and he took his own life. And he left a letter, and he said, "I told y'all they would never get me to prison." The person who spoke that to him was a woman who was pregnant at the time. And I was praying over, because I was writing an article about what had happened for a newsletter I was doing years ago. And the sadness always would hit me every time I thought about him. And I was praying about that. And the Lord showed me in a vision. The Lord showed me as I was praying that day that the great destruction and pain that entered our lives in my family because of that woman's words would come back as a harvest in her own life through destruction in her child's life. This made me very sad for that child, because obviously the child had nothing to do with it, but also for her, because I'm sure she did not know when she spoke those words the devastation they would cause. And I think so often when we speak something unkind, if we had any idea the devastation and destruction our words would bring, we would try to grab them and put them right back in our mouths, wouldn't we? And that broke my heart for the child, because the child had nothing to do with it. You know, her child had nothing to do with it. We can bring curses on our children or our spouses and a lot of other people by our words. And especially by our words when we are emotional. That's when it's hardest, I think, to control what you speak. When you're upset, when you're hurt, when you're angry, when something has gone completely wrong, you know, the devil's gotten into something and just messed it up. It's so hard to remember, hey, I'm not supposed to speak like that. And it takes a great deal of discipline. I did know one person who could disciplined their tongue extremely well. That was my grandmother Emma. I never knew anybody that could control their tongue so well. She was silent much of the time, you know. But the Bible says, where there's a multitude of words, there's always transgression. So the more we speak, the more we sin. Let's remember that. The more we speak, the more we sin. But what happened to my brother? If there was ever proof positive that the power of death and life is in the tongue, there it is right there. So in the heat of anger, in less than 30 seconds, that woman caused years of untold suffering in our family. And with her cruel intentions, brought untold suffering to her own life and her own family. Because I have no doubt whatsoever that what the Lord showed me came to pass. But let us not forget Matthew 6:14-15. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And let me tell you what. It's a fight to forgive someone when they cause the death of someone you love so much. But it can be done. You just have to keep working on it. Another thing that is a problem with our words is the Bible says our words can be stout against the Lord. Our words can be stout against the Lord. And the Lord showed me a vision of that years and years ago when I was praying for my mom. This was back in 2006. And I was literally just on my knees one night, just weeping and praying for mom. She wasn't doing real good. And I said, Lord, it breaks my heart that mom never got her own house. You know, she really believed you were going to bring her house, you know, and everything. And we always believed for that. And he said, I do desire to bless her. I want to give her these things. And he said, but her words, you know, prevented me. I don't remember exactly how he said it. I think I wrote about it in the Wilderness Companion, but he showed me a vision of a stairway. And there were angels coming down the stairway. They were, and at the bottom of the stairway was my mom. She was sitting in her chair where she always sat. And they were carrying bags with gold ribbons wrapped around them. And I knew that in the bags were blessings. And he showed me, then she spoke something negative out and the angels just hung their heads like, oh, and they turned around and went back up to heaven with the blessings because they couldn't give them to her because her words decreed she didn't have whatever was in those bags. Remember that. Y'all don't want the angels to have to turn around and take your blessings back to heaven, do we? We don't want that. Okay. I just wanted to remind y'all about that. And the Bible also says that if any man thinks that he's religious and he don't bridle his tongue. Yep. Okay. 1 Corinthians 4:12, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. That's real hard to do. I imagine a lot of us going to get a whole bunch of practice in that in upcoming year or two. I have trouble loving the way the Word tells us to. It was a lot easier. And blessing people and not cursing them is part of this. It was a lot easier for me when I was younger, so I think it may have something to do with years of torture and abuse. I don't know. That sort of thing causes you to bring just, you know, you build all kinds of walls around your heart trying to protect, you know, whatever little pieces you have left of it. Because abuse breaks your heart over and over again. I pray often. In fact, probably every single day at some point I pray, Lord, help me to love like you love, because I don't know how to do that. I don't understand how to do that. In Genesis 12, we find the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, he was Abram then, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. None of us want to bring a curse from the Lord himself down on us, do we? I know I don't. I don't need no curses, y'all. If you have done this, and I'll just mention here, I'm still repenting in this area myself. Then repent and immediately start blessing whoever you cursed with your mouth. Pray for them, say good things about them. And I want to mention here too, because the Lord showed me this as I was writing this, that this includes your parents and your spouse and your children, of course. If they belong to the Lord, you can bring a curse down on yourself speaking ill of them. Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, the Lord that he gives you is your promised land, or kind of like your happy place. When he blesses you and blesses you and blesses you, you want a lot of time in that land, right? Okay. Because you want to have time to enjoy all the blessings he's given you. So, I'm sorry I don't have more for y'all today. I worked on this the entire day. The entire day from about 7 o'clock this morning. And it took me, what time is it? After 4 o'clock even to get this much done. But what I have to say about that is praise God for showing us where we're missing it, saints. I've been repenting for weeks, like I said, as I've been writing this. And working on this message in general. And remembering times when I miss it. Lord, we bless your name for not leaving us in our mess, especially me, but helping us to come up higher in you. And we bless you, Lord, for not letting those who love you be lukewarm, but helping us to be better, to obey you in all things, and to walk in your ways and not our own. I'm not a complete failure. I did remember at least 3 times I actually got this right, so I was happy about that. That helped a little. But there are just some times I got it really, really wrong. And I'm asking the Lord, do I need to do anything about those besides repent at length? So we'll see. But thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great rest of your week. Hopefully episode 2 will be next week and Nicole will be able to join us, because I want y'all to hear what she has to say. It's really good. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1, is a collection of 58 short, inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1, today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.
Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com.